Christ said, "He that exalted himself shall be abased, but he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." They say before destruction, the heart itself gets haughty because the spirit has come upon the belly. Now let's look at the story of a very great king in the Bible. It's Josiah the king. If you know the story of this king, Josiah, which I'm going to read in a few minutes, 2 Chronicles chapter 34. He was a young man also when he became king, and he brought revival to the whole country. In the days when there were remaining very few, the enemy has taken away most of the country, but Jerusalem, where he was just the remaining part of Judah. And he heard about the word of God, he trembled. That this is what God said, you guys have been committing iniquity, idolatry, God was going to destroy everything. And when he read, in fact, in those days, in the days of Josiah, the book of the law that Moses wrote to them, for them, has been lost. So they were all trying their best, but now they discovered, they found the book of the law in the temple, somewhere hidden, because they have gone into idolatry. They brought idols into the temple for generations before him. And when he was king, he became king young, and we're going to read in a moment, in 2 Chronicles, like I said, chapter 34. When he became king and he wanted to seek the Lord, he was seeking the Lord, he was humble, he was walking with the Lord. They discovered the book of the law in the temple, and the priest brought it to the king, and the book was read before the king, that if you guys do all this thing that they are already doing for years, they've been doing it, idols. They put statues in all the temples and watch everybody worshiping their own idols. And now they saw the law of Moses, that this has been written, you guys have gone this way, this is what is coming upon all of you. They are going to be destroyed, they're going to be taken away. When he heard it, he trembled. He tore his clothes, went into ashes, he declared a fast. The whole country went to revival. And God was pleased. He did great things. Let's read his life story. So that was how God exalted him. And people get exalted when you have humbled yourself before God and you tremble at his word and you march to turn men to righteousness also. And that was what Josiah did in his days. But we're going to see what happened in the last part of his life, and that's where we're pointing to. But you can see how he was humble before God and God exalted him. He was conquering other nations after he wiped off idols. He wiped off idols from the city, from the areas, and did a mighty revival. Things that have not been done for 100 years in Israel. He brought it back. God commanded them they should be doing this and all this, the Passover. They have not been doing it for years. And they found it in the book of the law and he brought it back to the land, and it was a revival and God was pleased. And he was becoming rich and wealthy. That was the life story of Josiah. Chapter 34. Let's read from verse 1. Let me just read verse 1 and 2 for you so you see what I have narrated to you in a moment. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. So 8-year-old can do that. Well, after he became 16, 17, 18, 19, that was when all these things I just described happened. And he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, now he was a 16-year-old, while he was yet young, he began to seek after God, the God of David his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. And they break down the altars of Baal in his presence. So he started a revival. So you can say, oh, there is man of God. And you can read the rest of the story. He burned the bones of all the priests that were worshipping idols. Burned their bones on the altars to defile the altars of those idols. And he did all those wonderful things. And that was what I narrated to you. I summarized that in that story. And let's go to chapter 35 and see some other things that the Bible recorded about him. Verse 1 says, "And Josiah, moreover, kept a Passover unto the Lord in Jerusalem. And he killed the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. And he set the priests in their charges and encouraged them to the service of the house of the Lord." So you can say he's trying to set things back in order. Things that they have forgotten for 100 years. He's brought revival back into the city. And God was pleased because he saw the word of God. And in fact, we can go further and see where they found the word of God that made him to start doing all this cleaning. But the story went on and went on about how he did wonderfully, and now God blessed him and he started conquering and doing great things. And they did the Passover. They said they have not done this Passover for years, according to this story. Now I'm going to jump to the summary of it all. Let's go to the part of it where he became very high and lifted up, where the trouble came, about verse 20. In verse 19, he said, in the 18th year of the reign of Josiah was this Passover kept. So they did all those wonderful things. In verse 20, after all this, when Josiah had prepared the temple, Necho, king of Egypt, came up to fight against Carchemish. Now, this king of Egypt, you all know the story of Egypt. Egypt was like a superpower in their generation. And all Egypt wanted to do was to go and attack another country, not Israel, not Judah, not Josiah. He just heard that Egypt was going to war against somebody on the other side over there. And what came upon this king, we don't know. But just like the verse we just read, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. We don't know what came upon Josiah, but this is what was recorded. After all the miracles, wonderful things, he has been close to God and God has blessed him. The Bible said, Necho, king of Egypt, came up to fight against Carchemish by Euphrates. And Josiah went out against him. But the king of Egypt sent ambassadors to him, saying, what have I to do with thee, thou king of Judah? I come not against thee this day, but against the house wherewith I have war. For God commanded me to make haste. That is, king of Egypt was telling this man, king of Judah, that God told me to go and fight this other country. Why are you coming to attack me? Just by the man say, God told me, does not mean God told what? You see, did God already told this king of Egypt to go and attack? Fear the name of God. Amen? Fear the name of God. Well, I'm not sure God told you. Well, you better mention the name of God will make me to say, okay, I'm going to leave this alone. Amen? Leave it alone. But you see, Josiah didn't do that. Because king of Egypt was telling him that God told me to go and make war against that king over there. Why are you coming to interrupt or intervene or meddle with it? And this is what he was really saying. He said, for God commanded me to make haste. Forbear thee from meddling with God. King of Egypt telling Josiah, the king of Judah, that forbear thee to meddle with God. Don't meddle with God. God is sending me on the land. You are standing in my way. So we don't know what come upon Josiah to do this. He said, God is with me, that he destroyed it not. I did not write this story, but they said king of Egypt was telling, this king of Egypt does not worship God. We know what they worship in Egypt, but this is Judah. Josiah was king of Judah, and he was not coming against Josiah. But somehow, the heart of man becomes salty because of something. And he was telling him that don't let God destroy you. I'm not coming against you. God sent me on this land. Don't meddle with God. Verse 22 said, nevertheless, Josiah would not turn his face from him, but even disguise himself, that he might fight with him, and hearken not unto the words of Necho from the mouth of God, and came to fight in the valley of Megiddo. Well, you try to figure that one out. Try to figure it out. What came upon a great king, a very king that loved God? Maybe you say, well, maybe he didn't ask counsel from the Lord. There are many precepts of God. Many precepts, ways to walk with God. In the days of King David, David wouldn't do that without first asking God, should I go, should I not go? Should I go, should I not go? That's because this is the way he walks with God. And if God said, don't go, he won't go. If God said, go, no matter how millions are against him, he will go. So this Josiah, whatever came upon him, this was what was reported. That even God spoke to an idol worshiper and said, God is sending me on this land. God is with me. Don't let God destroy you. Don't come and meddle. He said, no. Which means he didn't believe God spoke to his man. So those are all things we have to be humble. I'll say before God is what God is talking about. In the end, it's like Josiah didn't humble himself to just turn back and say, well, if you say God, are you sure it's my God or your God? And this is what happened to him. And the archers shot at King Josiah. And the king said to his servants, have me away, and I'm sore wounded. So his servants therefore took him out of that chariot and put him in the second chariot that he had, and they brought him to Jerusalem, and he died and was buried in one of the sepulchres of his fathers. And verse 25 says, and Jeremiah the prophet lamented for Josiah. You wonder, how can there be great prophets like Jeremiah in the land, and this man went and destroyed himself? He didn't ask counsel from the Lord. He didn't ask questions. So when God talks about humility, what is humility then? He says, humble yourself before the Lord. When you hear the word of God, tremble at his word. Hear from the Almighty God, hear counsel from the Lord, and take heed to those counsels. But if you think you know everything, you know more than God, then God says, this man is proud. This man is humble. So let us humble ourselves before the Almighty God. He said, that is the fear of God. Amen. I'm going to wrap it up with one other person. We are, perhaps many people have never really noticed this. Maybe you have not noticed that this is what God will classify as humility. Let's talk about the story in the book of Luke chapter 19. Open with me to Luke chapter 19. Humility and fear of the Lord. That's what we are talking about. Now, Luke chapter 19, you see a story, a very kind of funny story. But it's not, when you look at the underlying factor here, is the story of Zacchaeus. Verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. Now I want you to consider this man, Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. So you know he was one of the officers in that place. He was very rich. Whatever way he got his wealth, cheating and murdering or corruption. But he was called to be rich. He was a publican. The Jews don't like that because he was working for the Romans. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. He has heard stories about this rabbi that was coming. One day people say he must be the Messiah. But Zacchaeus wanted to know, and here comes a crowd. They said the rabbi is coming. And the story says Zacchaeus was a short man. I mean, he was an adult, but short in stature. So he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And know what this man did? He ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, what is humility in that? See, God sees humility not like we saw humility. This man was a millionaire in town. A rich man. Maybe you can say he was the governor of the city, because he was working for the government. So, and the city, they didn't like these people that are working for. And he was rich. So he lacked nothing really. But he was just a small man. You know, most of the people that they are small in stature. They are maybe 4 or 5 feet tall. But they are fat and also rich and wealthy, wearing a very big cloth. For a rich man like that to go climb the tree with the boys, because most of the boys will be on that tree because they wanted to see this Messiah. And adults are following him. It's a crowd going. And if all the little boys like this 5 year or 10 year, want to see him, the best way is to go climb that tree and look. And he said, well, I'm just like a boy, like I'm just about their height. So he went and climbed that tree also. Why? He wanted to see this Messiah. Amen? And God called that humility. That is what God sees as humility. Look at the rich man on top of the tree with the little boys. And you know what the Lord Jesus said? Except you can take this kingdom like a child, you will not enter into the kingdom. Except you take this kingdom of God like a little child, you will not enter into the kingdom. Don't let your heart be so high and puffed up. That is what you see in Zacchaeus. All the Pharisees, rich men around, could be walking with Jesus. Jesus didn't choose to go and stay and overnight or dine with them in their house. But when he came to that tree, under that tree, the Spirit said, look at humility, right on top of the tree. That Zacchaeus could be wearing gold chains. He could be wearing gold chains because he was rich. And very big robe, he could be. And the Lord, the Holy Ghost said, look at that humility on the tree. And that's why the Lord just stopped and said, Zacchaeus, come down. And when Jesus came to the place, verse 5, he looked up and saw him. He didn't say, oh, who is this man? You know he's God. You know who he is. And the Spirit said, the deep call it unto deep. Amen. And he called him by his name, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when you see the multitude, the Pharisees, when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was going to be guest with a man that is a sinner. Because they know this guy was a sinner. He was tax collector. He charged, overcharged them and pocketed the rest of the money. That's how he got his wealth. He was a cruel, mean, whatever you can call it. But as far as God is concerned, that was humility. Just like you saw here. Wicked, evil, killing people, killing his people, worshiping idols. But when he heard the word of God, he humbled himself. And God said, that's humility. Before God Almighty. So we need to know that we need to be humble. And it brought me to remind me of one guy. When I say rich men can be humble, they can also be proud. Poor men can also be proud. I met somebody in one shop one time. He was pushing a cart. No, that has all his goods. And I know he must be homeless. That was many years ago. And I moved to him to just talk to him about Jesus, you know, give him hope. When I mentioned God, he got angry. He said, I didn't want to hear anything about God. Then he walked away. And the Lord said, you see, daughter, you see, it's not humility, it's not wealth that make people proud. Some people can be proud being homeless too. So if you come from the homeless shelter to this place, God sees your heart. You must be humble. Amen. Because the man that turns around, he's thinking God made him that. God has turned him. God didn't help him. Or God is the one that caused him to be homeless. No, God didn't. But God is the one that can help you out of it. Amen. So that is what we are saying. This humility is fear of God. You tremble before God. Then he's right there with you to help you in your lowest point. Amen. So that is why we say we have to have the kind of mind that the Lord wants us to have. The mind of Christ. Who the Bible said, even though when he was God, he made himself lowly. Let's read it in Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, this is what it was said about Christ. That is, if you are rich, you dwell with the lowly people. If you are poor, don't think God make you this and begin to get angry at God, because that is meaning you are not wise. In Philippians chapter 2, I'll read verse 5. Let this mind, he's talking about our mind, it's the state of our heart. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That is, for Christ to come to this world and live among us, the Bible says it is humility. In fact, the Bible said in another place that God humbled himself just to look down on earth upon mankind. Because he says he's high and lowly, but he says he lives with these people that are lowly and contrite and humble in spirit. Because of this, that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible said in verse 9, wherefore God also has highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth. Because he humbled himself and became obedient to the Father, even unto death. Praise the Lord. Well, let's see how the Lord taught us humility in some of his few parables. Because the Lord has taught this over and over and over in all his parables. Let's look at Luke chapter 14. I'm wrapping it up right now so that we can hear from the voice of the Master himself. When he was teaching humility among his own disciples, he taught it over and over again. Like the one I just quoted for you, he said, he that will not take this kingdom like a little child, said, you will not enter into it. Luke chapter 14, let me read verse 8. This is a story of how we human beings should walk in humility. And Christ put up this parable from verse 7. And he put forth a parable to those which were bidding, when he marked out they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, You just apply this in many other aspects. This is talking about a wedding, but it's in every area of life. You can apply how to conduct ourselves humbly before God, really. When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not thou in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bid thee and him, come and say to thee, give this man place. And thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. Say, but when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bid thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever hath exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Praise the Lord. Well, let's read another Bible, another parable. The Lord gave many of those. And there's another one. In Mark chapter 9, verse 33. Because all these things, it is humility between man and man, also humility between man and God. They are all part of what God is considering. Humility between one and man. How you conduct yourself around the other people. God is looking at that also. The humility between you and him. How you present yourself before him. In this story of Mark chapter 9, maybe we see another parable, another what the Lord Jesus Christ was giving to the audience here. In verse 33, this is what was happening between the apostles. And he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, what was it that ye disputed among yourselves by the way? But they held their peace. For by the way, they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. See, the apostles, the Jews, the apostles, the 12 apostles that were following Jesus, they had similar problem among themselves. They want to know, among these 12 of us, who should be in charge when Master is not here, kind of a thing. And verse 35, and he sat down and he called the 12 and said unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be the last of all and servant of all. And he took a child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, whosoever shall receive one of such little children in my name, receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me, receiveth not me, but him that sent me. So that is another place where the Lord teaches humility. Let's look at Matthew chapter 23. Verse 10. Do not be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. And the Lord gave a parable one time about the Pharisee and the publican that went to pray, to make us to see that, hey, even when you are praying to God, you better watch what you are saying. Because sometimes we can be praying in arrogance to God. We can be praying to God in arrogance. And God will look at us and say, look at me, I'm not going to hear that. He gave us this parable of this Pharisee that went to the temple and a publican. And he said, the Pharisee said, well, God, I thank you because I am not like other men. And God was listening, say, I did this to you, I did this for you, I did this for you, I did this for you. I'm not like all these sinners, adulterers, fornicators, this publican there, tax collector, I'm not like that. Oh, and he's thanking God that he's not like that. God didn't say where he was like that. God was just looking at how he was conducting himself before God. But the Lord Jesus Christ gave that, said that, but that publican was so ashamed of himself before God, and he's too far off from the temple entrance, and was saying, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Lord Jesus said, hey, that publican went home justified than the Pharisee. For whoever exalts himself shall be humbled. Amen. So even when we are praying to God, better watch how you are praying and what you are saying. Amen. And we love to pray. We want the Lord to hear our prayer. He said it himself. I am the high and lofty one that inhabited eternity. And I dwell with those who are lowly and contrite in heart. Then it will revive your heart when you are contrite. He's talking about the heart. Because if your heart can still be haughty, but even though you are in a lowly place, but you are not really lowly. Amen? Praise the Lord. God is looking at the heart rather than the posture. God is looking at the heart rather than the posture. I want you to think about that seriously. God is looking at the heart rather than the posture. Because the posture can deceive mankind, but God is not looking at what he's seeing, what you see. God does not see as man sees. Man look at the outward appearance. The God look at the heart. That is, you can see people line up in the homeless shelter like that. And they are all poor. We all know that's why they are there. They are all... And God can see a proud person. He says, how can he be proud in these shacks? No, God is looking at the heart, not where he was. Not whether he was homeless. Not whether he was sleeping under the bridge. Not whether he was begging. God looks at the heart. And that is what we are talking about, that we need to ask for him to touch our heart. To touch our heart. Amen? And I want us to pray. Because when our heart is right, then he can work for us. Whatever you ask for, he will work for you. Whatever you are, then you can ask and you will receive. Amen? And let us stand up and pray. We're going to wrap it up like that. Let's just stand up.
This is Evangelist Julius Adewumi. Give your life today to the Lord Jesus Christ and be filled with the Holy Ghost. I pray, Lord, that you touch all the people that are listening, help them to understand and to follow thee and read the Bible in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Write to me and we shall send you some exhortation. Our address has changed. The new address is Gospel Distribution Ministry, Post Office Box 71027, Phoenix, Arizona 85050. Again, our new address is Gospel Distribution Ministry, Post Office Box 71027, Phoenix, Arizona 85050, USA. On the internet, www.gospeldistribution.org. Send us email on the internet to the webmaster at gospeldistribution.org. Thank you.